Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brian Posehn. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a call from Duck Commander's Willie Robertson. And now, with a buck slip full of blues, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on.
Got to get it on. No choice. We got Amanda, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Give us a nice rating on iTunes. We appreciate it. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
You can't listen to Brian.
I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam and Dollar Shave Club, dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. Bespoke Post, boxawesome.com. Enter Adam and MVMTwatches.com. Slash M. All right, I'll tell you about that in a second. First, much to complain about. I didn't tell you guys last week that I went to the hand surgeon and Dr. Drew. It's funny, everyone always goes, who's your doctor? Is it Dr. Drew? And I go, well, he's my doctor, but he's sort of the traffic cop. Yeah. He just goes, talk to this guy, talk to
he's
that
your
guy.
Advocate.
Yeah, he goes and gets you hooked up with this guy or that guy. So I went in to have a evaluation on my hands, which have been sort of progressively getting worse as the years wear on. Too much trauma. I told you guys that, you know, boxing, not good on the hands.
Do you have arthritis? Because you haven't thrown a punch in quite some time, aside from the focus pads once in a while.
Scleroderma?
Well, the thing about
we'll take care of that, Adam.
The thing about the hands is whatever damage you caused back in the day, you know, the chickens come home to roost. And the thing about throwing punches, if you throw punches against a bag or focus pads or whatever, it's still just an impact, on your hands. It's not like from punching people, you know, bare knuckle style. So my hands are kind of screwed up over the years, and then also when you work construction, you end up using your hand hands, you don't realize you kind of use your hands as a hammer a lot. You hit a lot of stuff. You knock stuff like trying to into place. You're always trying to push
it. Multi-tool.
Yeah, you're always kind of banging on stuff. Like you put a level on it and the door's a little out of it. You don't pull out a hammer and start whacking on the door jamb. You end up hitting with your palm a lot, just trying to fudge it, whatever. Drew had this theory that if you can see what's going on with my hands, I can't straighten out my pinkies, and then I'm getting this calcified buildup and stuff and so, blah, blah, blah. He said it was theorized, this is Dr. Drew, that Jesus had this problem because you see the pictures on me. He never has his pinky and his ring finger straightened out. They're always down. So what happens is the palm of your hand, I won't go technical on you because I can't, but
stigmata.
As things start to pull in, yes, so the palm of your hand starts to ball up. It starts to pull your pinky in and pull your ring finger in. It starts to pull in, and then you cannot straighten your fingers out. Right. So I'm attempting to straighten them out.
You got Christ hands.
I got Christ hands. It's better than jazz hands.
Yeah, I'll say.
Spirit fingers.
So I...
Put water into wine, son.
I went to the hand doctor, and so I sat down, and they, you know, put your hands on the table, and they start measuring a lot of stuff, and they kind of explain to you that what's going on top of your knuckles is basically the same thing that's going on top in your palm, same thing's going on thing, and also... They go, well, we're not going to do anything yet, but we'll monitor the situation and see if it gets worse and whatever.
You're like, it's getting worse.
It is getting worse. And in my palm, I had surgery on a million years ago. My palm is bad. It's just numb. It feels dead. And they ask you questions like, how do you wake up in the middle of the night? You know, is it? And I go, yeah, I do, but not a lot. You know, it's not exquisite pain, but either way.
And it's finally starting to affect your masturbation habits.
Oh, my God. Yes. So what's going on?
Reducing it to multiple times.
Well, speaking of masturbation, what happened?
Uh-oh.
I knew there was a problem when.
The problem, or the thing as it goes back to your junk, he was explaining to me that the skin on the palm of your hand was thicker and different. Much like the skin on the sole of your feet.
Sure, of course.
Thicker, different. It'd be cruel to have belly skin on your feet or on your hands. But it was funny. He said the skin on your, skin on the palm of your hands is thicker and as well as on your feet and the top of your penis.
Huh?
Was it implied or was that explicitly?
He said the top of your penis.
The top of your penis?
The top of your penis.
Okay.
And if you think about it, depending on, what position you're in, they feel like the top can take a little more of a...
Licking?
Well, if you think about like a conventional sex...
I'm only going to point out puppetry of the penis. You do the math there. They do terrible things to their skin and ball skin too.
Yeah. He said the top of your penis. And I was sort of thinking about, the top. Yeah, if you're having intercourse, the top, I guess the cervix is up there. But that there's nothing down below doesn't have the same as the top. Either way, it was funny because
I'm constantly hitting the spine.
It was one of these things where I had to make some sort of noise that suggested I heard what he said, but I didn't want to delve into it. So I did like a, there you go. I did one of those things.
Like,
and also, I appreciate he said, he's a doctor. I get it. We're not supposed to be uptight, but he's holding my hands at the time. He's telling me about
it's
the top of my penis.
Holding you down.
We're having a moment. And
here, I'll prove it.
And I went and looked it up, or I told somebody to look it up, and it turns out that it is true.
Okay.
And it's also something he must have to weave into every conversation he has with a man or a woman, although you probably don't say your penis.
Sure.
You might say a penis.
A penis.
But
penis.
Unnecessary, but I kind of liked it. I thought it was interesting that there are parts of your body that are made to take a little more friction, a little more heat, a little more wear and tear. And it's not your, it's not that part right under your underarm there.
Right.
That's not made for that. But there are other parts are.
Your elbow skin.
Right.
You can feel it if you pinch it.
Right.
You think it's because more people, as we evolve, get circumcised, that the top of your penis has to get a little more durable? Because you'd think that it would be covered for most of evolution, so who cares?
Well, you're thinking of the top of your head of your penis.
No, literally. But, okay, when you first said this, I thought top penis, bottom penis. And then and then I switched it in the middle. I thought, well, maybe you're talking about the head.
No.
So literally just the top. Okay, I don't get it.
Gina, come here for a second.
Wait a minute, Gina. Have you never...
No, I haven't.
She's saving herself, obviously.
No. That's what I'm saying. I thought you meant, like, if this was a penis, the top of the penis.
I think that's what he meant.
That's what I said.
Okay. I don't get why that side would take more friction than the other side. It all goes in the same place, yes?
No. I mean, if you picture having sex and where...
I'll try.
What you're doing, where's your cervix? Doesn't it rub against something up there?
The cervix is way up
there.
Where's
your pubic
bone?
It's
not on the top of... If I'm laying flat on my back, the cervix is not on top.
Well, where's your pubic bone?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would. Like, prove it. No, you can't... Everyone? No one? No?
I don't know.
It's resveratrol.
Well, there's nothing really... There's nothing at the bottom.
There's more contact made along the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that... That shouldn't be confusing to you.
I mean, I'm just thinking it's all going in. So, and all that skin is the same. It's like your mouth skin.
I think Adam and I with cavernous.
I think
prior to my
a lot of wide set vaginas out there. I didn't realize.
No, I think it's kind of trying to push the friction is at the top versus the bottom of the penis.
Yes, typically
that's what I'm saying. That doesn't ring true to you.
I guess it does. I guess just being on the receiving end, it all just kind of.
The majority
shifts
of
things
the majority
around.
When you're that drunk, no feeling from the waist down.
I'm gonna have to go home and do some field research.
Mm-hmm. All right, please do. But
next, eat your feelings.
I think it made sense. Well, unfortunately, while the guy was holding my hands, I had to now picture
the top of your penis,
the top of my penis, and having sex. But I think that's the mm-hmm. I think that's where the friction.
The majority
is.
Of the contact.
Yes,
is made, yes.
Yes. Thank you. All right. So
I didn't realize I was so narrow. Go ahead.
I went to the, it's the top. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Max Pat, I don't know. What's it rubbing up against there? It's the position. I think if you got into a different position, like you must go like reverse cowgirl a lot or something.
But I don't have the thigh strength.
If you go, I think it's the position. I think in a missionary position.
I think in most positions.
In most positions.
All right.
I mean, on the wheel of what's
yes.
Awesome.
I'll let
yes.
you know
it's
tomorrow.
The top. It's
the
top. Look, God doesn't make dick mistakes. That's all I know. All right. It was funny. I had to, at a certain point, he said, you know, this stuff is kind of hereditary. And I said, And then he said, did your dad or mom have this? And I said, no, but they've never actually worked ever.
Right.
So,
there'd be no way to know.
Like my dad literally took Vaseline, put it into oven mittens and walked around his entire life with oven mittens soaked in Vaseline and his hands held up by his ears his entire life. Like some Indian woman trying to set a record for longest fingernails.
Sure.
Like literally zero, never turned a wrench, never punched a guy, never swung a hammer, never dug a ditch. So I know some of this is hereditary, but in a vacuum of ever using your hands.
Like a doctor who had just scrubbed in his entire life. Just the whole
right.
Hands up. Yeah. Did he happen to mention something called Dupendrin's syndrome?
Yes.
Well, it's hereditary. My family has it. Everybody has that hand thing.
Yes, I think that's what it is.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So Sonny can look forward to that. Let's see. We will talk to Brian Posehn, who'll be in here. I think we're going to do some like sort of nerd walking, but it'll be a version where you guys try to guess whether I know. Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty is going to be calling in a minute, and I'll tell you about Dollar Shave Club. How'd you get ready today? Shower, brush your teeth, wash your face? I did 2 out of 3 of those items.
Oh.
Style your hair. Oop. Sorry. Now I'm back at 500. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Intense peppermint flavors of Dollar Shave Club toothpaste. I do use this stuff, and it is great. Lasts surprisingly long because it's so intense. You don't need that much. Hydrating body cleansers smell awesome. Leave your skin silky smooth. No matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need. And I didn't even mention the razors. The best. And the shave butter. The best. I'm telling you, man, once you get into that shave butter and you try to slide back to the old foam Dad used to use, no can do, man. They got a starter set, and you can tell them all about it. Right, Dawson?
Right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5 each. They've got a shower set, a toothpaste and toothbrush set, or their famous shave butter and razor. Any one of those sets are just $5, and it's the best way to try out their amazing products. After your starter set, products ship at regular price. Get yours today at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam.
Sorry,
I was going to tell a story about that.
Tell a story.
Hey, speaking of showers, you said during the read, and I took a Corolla shower over the weekend. Ice cold.
So you didn't take one? Oh.
Ice cold. Would you like to know why?
Gas leak, so
not
I see.
Gas
here.
Leak!
What happened?
Came home from celebrating, came home from the USC-UCLA game on Saturday, which is a whole other thing we can get into later. Watched my team embarrass themselves on Saturday. Wanted to celebrate a friend's birthday Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Was a little bit drunk, and this will factor in later. Mm-hmm. Was a little bit drunk. Came home, and the babysitter says, "Oh, hey, I was going to cook Tessa dinner, but the stove wasn't working. It was just click, 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 clicking.
Right.
The pilot was mm-hmm. clicking, but it wasn't lighting.
Right.
Thought, that's strange. We made eggs this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Christy and I. This is now 10 o'clock at night, and we're dismissing the babysitter. Tessa's asleep. We're a little bit tipsy.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure it out. We turn the water on. It's cold. Sorry, that's not a good sign. And then we try to light the fireplace. We have a gas fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. Usually it's mm-hmm.
right. Yeah,
it's just nothing. So we're like, all right, gas is off. It's like, all right, well. So I texted neighbors, you know, sorry for the late night text. Is your gas working? It's like, yeah, it's working. It's like, all right, well, problems with us. And we have the earthquake thing, you know, outside, the earthquake sensor.
Automatic shutoff.
Yeah, exactly. It's if it's jostled, it shuts off, right?
It cuts
the gas to your house.
Yes.
Now, this again will factor in. I was a little bit tipsy. I went outside with my flashlight on my phone and looked because it goes from green to red if it trips, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't quite tell, but I could have sworn I saw some green. So mm-hmm. now I don't know what's going on. So Christy calls the gas company. They're still up and like, we'll send someone out at 8 in the morning, you know, right and early. And so 8 in the morning, the guy comes out and he's like, yeah, your thing has been tripped. He kind of does like a clean, because it's outside, right? So it gets mm-hmm. rained on and whatever on. He kind of cleans off. So he shines his light. See, you can see it's red. I'm like, oh, okay, no, you're right. It's red. He's like, I'll just, you know, go out and do my tests and blah, blah, blah. Comes back and he's like, the gas is off, but we're still getting the meter still ticking. So mm-hmm. it means there's gas is flowing somewhere and it's not supposed to be flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So he checks all the appliances, checks the stove, checks the furniture, you know, the heater, the whatever, and finally finds, you know, with his little tick, 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 the little detector thing, you know, the wand that detects mm-hmm. gas, finds a leak outside the house. So now gas is shut off. I can't turn you back on legally. I have to, you know, until you get it fixed, I have to turn the gas off.
So how long does that take? And did you smoke any cigarettes?
No cigarettes. And it's funny because he was very apologetic. Like he was you could tell in a previous life, he had all sorts of face tattoos, made me think possible jail time.
Clergy.
He just gave the impression. So I was like, this is a guy who in a previous life, like, you know, this would be a massive problem for. But for us, I was like, thanks. I mean, yes, it is an inconvenience, but it would be much more inconvenient if our house blew up. So thank you very much for, you know, finding the leak. And so I'm sorry I have to do this to you. I'm like, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm glad the house is not going to blow
what
up.
What kind of facial tattoos?
He had the state of California right here. I'm probably
on the neck?
He had the lips. He had all
the lips.
Teardrops.
No, I couldn't. Well, there was a lot, so I couldn't tell if they were teardrops. But there, and he was also
could have been semen.
He had.
I did semen on my forehead.
How do I put this? He had a skin tone where the tattoos didn't pop.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can
Eskimo dude.
Yeah, that's right. Inuit. I think. Mm-hmm.
Oh, call. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
So here we are today. Call plumber. I'm so stupid. I think plumbers just do. Obviously, they do pipes, but I thought they just did, like, you know, liquid plumbing.
Right.
But obviously, they do pipes.
Yeah.
So comes out, and you'll know more about this than anyone will care about. But he did all sorts of tests. You know, shut this valve off, shut that valve off. Check the line from the city. And long story short, we have to tear up our brick dog run backyard because that's where the pipe goes all the way to the back to the water heater, and it's 21 feet a section, which you probably know, and they have to dig it up 21 feet at a time and try and figure out where the leak is.
And I'm sure you get reimbursed for that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I know the pipe, the green stuff is the variable stuff, but I didn't know about the 21. I'm not sure where the 21 feet comes in.
This also may be old pipe because our house is, like I said, built in 1949 or whatever it was, and there's a chance this is the original pipe.
Wow.
That's what the plumber said to us. So anyway, here I am on Sunday morning with no heat and no hot water or anything. And I had to take a shower. It was I was washing away the booze from the night before.
Did Tessa ever get fed?
She did. Well, the microwave. Oh, the electric. Oh, okay. Stuff. Yeah, she ate.
Why? I feel like most people just wouldn't have taken a shower.
I had gone to the game. I had cheered at the game. I had drank at the game. I had I cried at the game. We got out for drinks. It was just one of those things where I wanted to wash off the day's, you know.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Excess.
Still freezing water.
It was very cold
outside.
It was very unpleasant. It was very unpleasant. And I thought to myself, I'm not doing that again. So this morning, just took the wet cloth to the pits.
Mm.
Horse bath.
Yeah.
And I took the Adam Carolla shower and I vowed never again. It was bitterly cold. It was very unpleasant.
Well, the thing about the cold is it's whatever the ground is times whatever, and it's getting cold at night now, and that's the water that's in there. And the key to the game, the key to the whole process is it's you inflicting it upon yourself.
Right. Voluntarily.
See, Brian probably didn't get that much out of the exchange because he would have preferred to have hot water on him.
He's pissing and moaning the whole time.
But it's the part where you knowingly do it to yourself.
Oh.
That's the part. That's the emotional part that's where the good comes.
There was a good 30 seconds of standing and deciding before I hopped into that shower where the water's going, and I'm like, I could very easily just take the rag to the pits.
Right.
And I'm like, I got to get in there.
Yeah.
And I wanted a little bit to talk about it on the show.
So honestly, how long does this take to fix?
Well, let's hope. Best case scenario, estimate, by the way, $8,500. That's where it starts. That's if they don't have to do too much.
Because there's no such thing as not finding something. Find something. You know what I mean?
The best case scenario is they find it quickly and can replace the 21 feet of pipe. But bricks come up. They do what they got to do. Bricks go back. Best case scenario, it's 3 days. With a holiday coming up on Thursday. So most likely this stretches into next week.
Early 2019.
that'd be great.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry, pointless story, but
I'm feeling
pain both from the cold shower and the $8,000 estimate.
I think you'll be a better man with the cold shower.
I don't feel any different.
You will. You don't feel different because you're not... It's forced upon you.
Yeah.
You must choose to do this. Like, you don't feel like you got a good workout if you run from a bear. But if you just ran through the forest, you would,
totally
with
different.
No bear, you'd feel really proud of yourself when you were done.
The real challenge, then, is once the heat turn back on,
that's
then
right.
Taking the cold shower.
That is right.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. All right. I'm getting ready. So I'm now going to transfer myself from the cold shower into the swimming pool
because
now
it is cold.
It is cold where I am at night, and the pool's getting down there, so I'm going to do it.
Is Sunny down?
I can't get. You got to get that video. I don't know when's the last time we saw it, but that, I'm so in love with that video. Sunny jumping into the freezing pool and screaming at everybody. It makes me laugh. I hope so. I hope so.
You know, it's interesting though because Natalia's the daredevil, so you think she would have participated at least once.
She really wants to just make fun of Sunny.
I get it.
By the way, Natalia, wildly insulting last night. I said, I'm going to the mall. I need money to like go shopping, for clothes shopping. Like mommy said, I could go clothes shopping. And I said, all right, what do you got? I got $100.
Damn.
And I said, that's a lot of tough skins.
That's a lot of Forever 21.
It's a lot of tough skins. And hopefully not the reinforced knees like I used to get that sends the wrong message
really
when it's on a lady.
That's right.
And I said, and she goes, I need another $100. And I said, I'm not giving you another $100. And she goes, I got $100. I got a gift certificate, like an Amazon gift certificate for $100. So how about you hammer it with me and give me.
She's going to sell it to you.
Yeah.
Bank
so
of.
I said, fine.
Make it out to cash.
Yeah.
So I did. I took out a bunch of cash, and I took out the cash, as I've said before. A reason I haven't been to the ATM in 7 years is because once a month, twice a month, we go out, I go out, we do a show, and then at the end of the show, we sell some books and some T-shirts, and when I get back to stateside.
See you guys a week from Friday in Anaheim.
Oh, that's right, Anaheim Grove.
For Adam's weekly ATM business.
Yeah, Rob Rigg will be up there. Then we just get the merch cash, right. And that's the sort of fives and tens and twenties I use to get through life. So I pulled the money out, and I told her, let's count it out. And she gave me the card and the Amazon card. And then as I was counting the money out, I thought, well, this is a kind of interesting moment we're having here. And also, this isn't cash. You know, Daddy's not a waitress, and this isn't from the ATM. So I said, where do you think, do you know where this money came from? Because I think it's kind of interesting that Daddy was in Phoenix and Daddy was selling books and T-shirts and things in between shows or whatever. And she's counting it out. And I go, do you know where this money came from? And she just went, Uncle Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. He brings over a sack of money. Hey, Jimmy.
I need a monthly delivery.
I need $180. What do you got in the ashtray of the Mercedes? Could you come by? Do you have your assistant drop off a bag of money? Uncle Jimmy. It's so sad that's the way her little brain works. Couldn't be Daddy out getting hustling. His hustle on, working on the weekend.
So emasculating.
Selling his books. Hey, Uncle Jimmy, what'd you do? Give him a handy? Oh, that's not enough here. This is blowjob type cash.
Five
to all right. Let's see. We'll take a quickie break. Willie Robertson, you know him, Duck Dynasty. He's on the phone. We'll talk to him right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
He's got to ask his boyfriend to go easy on raw-dogging it. Maybe a little more cuddling will tone down his hysteria. Too much chaffering can throw off a bitch's mood.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I like James Woods because he goes old school. It goes, your mother?
Yeah.
I'll ask your mother. And then he goes, ask your boyfriend, like on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Classics.
Classic.
Fight dirty.
Never go out of style. All right. Let's see. Willie Robertson, Duck Dynasty on the blower. He's got a book out, American Entrepreneur, How 400 Years of Risk Takers, Innovators, and Business Visionaries Built the U.S. of A. Good to speak to you, Willie.
Nice to speak to you. You know what that sounds like? A good Christmas present.
It sounds like a great Christmas present. It's available today on Amazon, and you can bookmark us and tweet through our, link through our site. It just helps. Tell us about the book, Willie.
Well, that's pretty much kind of what you mean. That's what it's about. You know, we chronicle all sorts of different entrepreneurs through really the beginning of America, even before the Native Americans and the trade there, and all the way up till now. And we mix in our story and kind of our DNA with it, with being entrepreneurs ourselves. I was really interested in selling things as a kid. We grew up really poor, so I found different ways to make money. Had a nice worm farm when I was young, which is a really, it's a good business. It's just pretty labor intensive, and checkout's kind of maddening. 150 worms in an old boat full of cow manure. So I need to move on to something, and a guy gave my dad a box of Hubba Bubba bubble gum, and so I sold that for 50 cents a piece in fifth grade, and business went well, and I started buying more and more candy, and had a pretty good operation. I was making several hundred dollars, and then the principal shut me down. Concession stand sales were down, and so they shut that down, and so I had to find more ways of making money. And kind of at the same time, Dad was doing the stock car business and trying to get it off the ground, which it wasn't doing that great. And but then we were the workers, and over time, he stuck with it, and here we are today, ended up making a show about it. And I used to think, I wish Dad would have come up with something besides duck calls, because those things are really hard to sell. But I found this. If you have a giant TV show, you can sell a lot of duck calls.
Well, you know, the more you know. Yeah, I'd like to find out how, and you everyone can tell me this. Will, I'd be curious what your thoughts are. How do you give somebody the entrepreneurial spirit? When I was a kid, I was the worst. I saved no money. I made no money. Once a year for the East Valley Trojans, they gave me a box with 12 candy bars in them, and I had to sell them for a dollar a piece, and then they gave me a mini manila envelope. It's weird. We only do small and large in manila envelopes. There's a giant one, and then there's a little one you put the bills in.
Oh, yeah.
And then I never see a medium-sized one.
Yeah.
But either way, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, we'd have to turn it in, and I would always have one half a candy bar left because I would eat three of them. I'd have $4 and no other candy bars, and we'd have to reconcile it with Duke Gallagher, our coach, at the East Valley Shows. And I didn't have any of it. Now I'm filled with it. How do you graft it on someone, or how do you get them interested in it?
Well, that's the difference in me and you. See, I had a whole box of bubble gum in fifth grade. I chose not to chew any of it, but to sell it and make money. So there's a great quote in the book from Michael Dell, and he says, I get the question all the time, how do you become a great entrepreneur? And he said, I actually hate the question, because if you're having to ask what that is, you're probably not it. So, that may say a lot about it, but I think you can learn, and you can, you can outwork stuff, and so you may not be the best at it. I learned that with all the people in the book, like, and there were so many different backgrounds. Like, some of these people were rich, some of them were really poor, some of them were older, some of them were younger, but the work ethic was always there. They always had this just aggressive work ethic that they just felt like they weren't going to be outworked or out hustled, and all of them shared that same trait.
My theory is that all these people that sort of seem to outwork everybody don't have a love of money. They have a love of sort of success. Mm. Like, it's
right.
Not necessarily
spirit.
Bragging rights, but money. Look, the way our society is structured, money's just sort of units of success,
right,
so to speak. And that's why we love to hear, you know, when somebody goes, how come you're rich? And they go, I won the lottery. We go, oh. Or they go, how come you're rich? My dad had an incredibly successful business, and he gave me a bunch of franchises. We go, all right. But when you go, I invented this, and I sold them out of the trunk of my car, and eventually I blah, 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 we just go, ooh, that's cool. Right. Because it's the money's the same. It's the units of success that sort of are measured differently. Do you agree with that, Willie?
I totally agree. I think money is just a byproduct. Like, you end up with money and you're like, wow, this is great that I have money, but you may not have went into it trying to, you know, trying to get rich off this. I guess in the back of your mind, but I think you're right. I think the money's just a, this is how much we did. And so, but it's important to tell people too, you know, I mean, as people, because people ask me all the time about business. So ever since the show, they're like, I get emails every day, you know, I'm starting this business. And, you know, how did you know when to, you know, when to do this and when to do that? And I try to tell them, look, you got to be patient. You know, people said to me, like, Willie, what's it been like being this overnight success? And I'm like, well, my father started the company in 1972, so I don't know what your idea of overnight is. Mm. I was about 40-something years of grinding and, you know, not making a lot of money. But we never thought about it like we weren't successful. We were like, heck, we get to hunt and fish and grow our beards out and hair. We don't have to bathe to go to work. We can do whatever we want to do. To us, that was success. So we were as happy as we could be doing finding the job that we had. And so, and then, you know, the more money you make is great. But I do think it's that, you know, you're just, you want to say, hey, I want to succeed in whatever it is that I'm doing. And I think the question is, do you really want to work for yourself or do you want to work for someone else? And that's not a bad thing. Like my brother, Jace, he's older than me. He didn't mind working for somebody else. He's fine. You know, he didn't want to try to run it and do that. And so, and I just had that desire. I was like, yeah, I can run it. I think we can, my wife and I, we were like, we think we can run this and take it to a whole new level. And, you know, fortunately for us, we did.
I had a thought, and I would encourage more people to sort of think this way. Very early on when I was working construction, there's this mindset. My boss would say, you want to get from $7 an hour to $8 an hour, you buy a pickup truck, I give you another dollar an hour. So I bought a beater pickup truck to get another dollar. And you work on a site with guys that are making $15 an hour when you're working, you're making $7 an hour, the carpenters, you know, back in the day. And so the mindset becomes, how do I get to $15 an hour? How do I get to $15 an hour? And it's all, you know, you buy another tool and you show up with a truck and they bump you up to $10 an hour. But at a certain point, I realized, wait a minute, it can't be how much for your time, like how much you need to get paid by the gig. You know what I mean? I mean, it all ends up being time. But what I'm saying is stop trying to think of how to get to $20 an hour and 25, but it's still you being somewhere for an extended period of time versus you showing up, doing a job and leaving and getting paid for it. And that was sort of an early entrepreneurial sort of thought I had. And everyone should share that thought, which is instead of thinking like how much per unit or per year or per hour, or whatever it is, think in terms of getting paid and going home and not having it based on how long you were there.
Well, if you want to be there, but I don't know that a lot of people want to be there.
They don't want to be there. That's what I'm saying.
Because it brings stress. Do you want to have less stress? Less stress is that I work this hour, you pay me this amount of money. Not a lot of stress there. So when you start getting paid by the gig or by the job or by the, well, now you have stress because that there's a certain expectation is you're not going to make any more money if this job is not the best job. And so that's where you have stress. You've got to push yourself more and you've got to say you're in charge of things. Now you're paying other people by the hour while you're trying to, you know, and that's where it starts getting bigger. But that brings in stress. And I find that a lot of people really don't want that stress. They're like, I don't want that stress. I'll work my job and I'll go home and I'm good.
Who shoots the most ducks? Is there some other country? Where do you export? Like what would surprise us that you guys export your product to?
It's funny you said that. I'm in New York right now. I flew in from Scotland on a duck hunt and just to see if the Scottish ducks had an accent. It's the same. Same quack. So,
that's interesting.
We ship a lot of duck calls to New Zealand.
Oh, really?
New Zealand.
Everyone knows that.
And you got and everything in New Zealand, every animal, that there's a lot of hunters down there, believe it or not. And they were all brought in, which is wild to me because there was nothing there. Everything they had, they brought in. But they're crazy down there. They hunt at night. They hunt from helicopters, and they shoot down on ducks rather than up at ducks.
They shoot ducks from helicopters?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said, you really want to have fun? We'll go up in a helicopter and shoot them.
That's some shoot badass
marksmanship. I was like, you guys have figured something out.
Yeah. Tough rare.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah. It's got to be weird for the ducks that survive. They must come back and telling tales of a giant, angry metal duck
that
makes noise and fires out of its side. Like,
it's fire.
Like the ducks are sitting
out fire from its side.
Yeah, they're like sitting around the duck campfire and telling stories. That's going to be the scariest duck story ever.
It has a horrible quack.
They're like, no, it was the group of guys with the beards. Yeah, it was some of them too. Yeah, it's scary.
Riding inside of the duck,
living inside it.
The book is called American Entrepreneur, How 400 Years of Risk Takers, Innovators, and Business Visionaries Built the U.S. of A. It's available as we speak now on Amazon. Willie, thanks for your time. Our connection's a little rough, so I'm going to cut it a little bit short. But go out and make a good Christmas gift, right, Willie?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Good talking to you, buddy.
Good talking to you. Take care. Yeah. Well, that's good about, I like that part of this country where everyone can go out and get a job. Of course, you have to show up. Mm. You do have to show up.
You asked about, like, you know, can you give someone the entrepreneurial spirit? I don't know if you can, but this feels like the greatest gift you can give them, maybe someone, you know, you're advising, mentoring, a child perhaps, information. Information. You tell them, like, here's the path. If you want to do this, here's what you should do. Here's a shortcut you should take. Imagine if someone had told you, don't worry about, you know, dollars per hour, your per hourly wage. You want to get it this way. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You figured it out, but I don't know if, you know, most people would be, you know, benefit from that information.
Yeah, I'm really, as I really start to consider the human condition and I look around and I think about where we're at and the people in my life and people I've dealt with, good and bad, I really start to think that there's a sort of genetic kind of, like, I used to go all nurture. I wasn't much nature. I wasn't, you know, nature is what, you know, the genes your parents gave you and nurture. So it's like, if you had muscles, that was because you spent a lot of time in the gym.
Right.
And then I started to really think about it. No, the guys with muscles have muscles.
Yep.
And they may spend time in the gym. And maybe the guy who doesn't have muscles spends time in the gym. But the
predetermined.
Kind of better to be the guy with the muscles versus the guy who lives in the gym.
Right.
That guy's never going to do as good as that guy.
It would also make sense that the guy with muscles would be more predisposed to spend time in the gym because, you know, he's
right.
got this physique.
So, and as I start to really just think about life and I end up spending a fair amount of hours each week sort of wringing my hands and saying, I don't get it. I told this person this, but they do that. You know, they keep doing that. I keep telling this. I, you know, look no further than my nephew. We sat down for 3 hours and I explained to him the business and how it worked and how he could blah, 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 blah. And whatever. That's not an information problem. That's almost a DNA problem.
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I don't say, oh, this person's a bad person, this person's a good person. But I don't know. Maybe some people can murder and some people can't murder, you know? And we do a ton of, like, we need to expose them to this and they need good teachers and good mentors and all that kind of stuff. But I'm starting to, like, look at almost everybody. I'm loosely basing it on almost no one listening to me almost ever about advice. Like, we do a lot of, like, well, you need to work with these people and you need to talk to them. And these young people need people to come down and they need good teachers and good role models and good whatever. And I thought, yeah, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. Until I think about sort of my own life and I realize it's never really happened.
It just didn't penetrate.
I was a Catholic big brother, and like I gave my little guy Nate my phone calling card back when they had phone cards, you know, and I handed it to him, and he said he met a girl and she was like online and she was in like one of the Carolinas or something, and I gave him a long speech about like you can use the card but you're gonna have to pay me back, you know, I'll get the bill every month, and but don't, you know, talk for 5 minutes and then hang up, and you can call every day but limit it to 4, 5, 6 minutes, you can't go on for 2 hours, you know, blah blah blah. My phone got shut off 3 days later. The fucking phone got shut off. Like, they didn't even send me a thing that said, hey, I mean, this wasn't no cell phones, my home phone. My home just got shut. And I was like,
that's so good.
I literally, like, I sat down with Nate and I said, now listen to me. Listen to me. It's a lot of responsibility. And look, I will be the first to know if you go nuts abusing right. this privilege, and I'm about to grant you, because I will get the bill.
Right.
And you're going to be responsible for that bill. And blah, 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 blah. And
then 4 days
later, my phone shut off. And I'm like, I went in when you by the way, I can't tell you how many times I paid things in person, like utility bills and phone bills. Always a bad sign. And I was like, what happened? I'm like, you rang up $300 worth of charges in 2 days, and we shut your phone down.
I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then all the many times, I when we were living in an apartment, the manager, Jim, would come by, and he'd just go like, if I get one more complaint about the noise that's coming from your apartment, one more, if there's one more instance or incident, I will evict your ass. And so it's like it'd be a weeknight, people be up late, smoking pot, drinking beer, whatever. And I'd be like standing in my living room and two dudes would be like, all right, we're out of here. And be like 1 a.m. on a Wednesday night, you know, and they'd be walking down the stairs to their car, like on the street. And I would just go like, listen to me, we're going to get tossed. We're going to get tossed out of this building. You guys, from the time you leave this front door, the time you shut your car doors, no talking, no talking. You're a little bit buzzed. No talking. We're going to get yelled. I'm going to get thrown out of the apartment, and we won't have a place to party if I get thrown out of this apartment. And then I'd go, okay, got it. I go, okay. And then you'd hear him walking down the stairs, and at some point you'd hear him go, hey, dude, I'm taking a piss. Back off. And then the other guy'd go, hey, dude, didn't whatever Adam told you to do. And
shut
he'd go
up,
like,
man,
get out of my face, dude. And then you'd have a fucking shouting match on the lawn. And it's like, I just fucking told you this 18 seconds ago. You cannot prevent this. You can't. And now I'm starting to really think that's it. I think that's just where we're at. I don't think there's a mount. I don't think there's coaching up, whether it's my buddies from high school or my nephew. I don't think there's a sit down and discuss. I've had a million sit down discussions with a million people. They rarely goes the direction I want it to go. This is Catholic little brother. This is buddies out of high school. This is potential employees. It rarely goes that direction.
Well, back to my original point, yes, you can't give someone the entrepreneurial spirit. The best you can do is give them that information. What they do with it is up to them. They could just throw it, you know, go piss on in the courtyard.
That's what they do. I'm
say,
now.
Oh, thank you. Now I'll start my own business.
I now know something. Here's what I now know. There's a catch 22. Here's the catch 22. First, I'll tell you about Bespoke Post. Oh, here's somebody with the entrepreneurial spirit. Listen, everyone gets everyone gifts this year during the holidays. How about you get yourself something good? Why buy that ugly sweater for your uncle? You can buy some awesome for yourself. I mean, get yourself Bespoke Post. Have a box awesome sent to your door every month. So many good items, such high quality. Surprise every time. I mean, if you like to have a drink, they got great stuff for making drinks. They got great stuff for... God, where's my
knife?
I love my knife that I got. Yeah, anyone wants to mess with me, they got to deal with this thing I can't find, which is normally in front of me. Here it is. Listen to the action. Oh. Didn't make as much noise as I thought it would. That's good.
Like a ninja.
Silent hunter.
Hold on.
Yes.
I'll sweeten it up for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, listen
there
to that.
There you go.
Wow. That.
High damn quality as I hold it in my hand. Boxofawesome.com. Answer a few questions. So visit boxofawesome.com. Couple quick questions, and you'll be off and running. First, each month, you'll get an email with all the details. If you're not feeling that month's box, you can go ahead and skip it. Each box is under $50 and more than $70 worth of great and unique gear. They got everything. Bespoke Post, essential goods for the modern man, right, Dawson?
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Adam at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code Adam for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
Catch 22.
My catch 22 with advice is now this. My batting average is abysmal. Now, my prognosticating is spot on. I have sat down with many a person and said, this is what's going to happen. We want to avoid this. We'd like this to happen. So here's what it's going to take. And then it just basically just happens.
Right.
The negative thing. And I've attempted to give much advice to many people from all walks of life. I now realize this. The catch 22 of advice, it's the exact same relationship in the catch 22 you have with lending of money. If Nick Santora or Kevin Hench ever needed to borrow money from you, you would be paid back with interest immediately, but they would never need it.
Right.
Then you can think about the friends or family members or homeless folk who do want the money from you, the people who need the money. You need the money. You've already put yourself in a self-selecting category of people that are really bad with money and not real good at paying people back without. I mean, there's rare exceptions when there's deals. I've borrowed money from people. There's like a real estate thing and I need them to front it for a month and then I'm going to sell the thing and then I'll pay them back or whatever. That's a rare exception. The people that need money are the worst at paying it back. So if you took a person that came up to you and said, may I borrow some money, you'll never see that money again. If you walked up to the people you know, the people you trust, and you said, here's some money, and they went, oh, I don't need it, but okay, they would pay you back.
Right.
If someone ever comes up to me and says, give me some advice, they would use it. Mm. That rarely happens.
Right.
It's usually me sitting them down and grafting advice onto them that they don't want. They need it, but they don't want it.
They kind of resent
it. So when you want money, you'll never get paid back.
Right.
And when you want advice, they will take that advice. But how many people have, and you guys can think about your lives as well. How many people, and I'm always struck that more people, and maybe it's just maybe it's Google. I don't know who to blame it on. But what I'm saying is like, people never ask my advice. You know, they never go, hey, tell me, what do you want to do? Or what's the next year going to look like for me? Or how does this work? Or any of this stuff. And I'm always a little surprised. I know it sounds pompous, mm-hmm. but I mean, I'm a little surprised that no one ever says, like, hey, as a guy who's preaching everything to everyone all the time, no one ever goes, hey, can I pick your brain for a second? It almost never happens. It'll happen about something to do, like, Dawson will ask me about soundproofing a studio or something. I get like construction, like tangible, hard tangible things, but I never really...
Not like direction.
No. So I realized people don't want advice. They need advice. But if you sit down with them and try to offer it up to them, they almost always reject it or they never absorb it.
Thought. Yes. It could be wrong, could be right. Or not even wrong or right. Just my first thought. Is this a male versus female thing? Like the trope of like the guys never ask for directions, you know, the old cliche. Because I get the same thing as you, where it's like, you know, I'm in a position to be asked advice. But like if I get asked advice for like, you know, a fantasy football thing or like, oh, well, any good movies I should see? Like that kind of specific stuff, like construction for you. But Christy, and it could be a product of her position, has a lot of her people under her, people who work for her, her subordinates, her people who work for her, and the vast majority being female, ask her for advice, career advice, life advice, like what should I, you know, I want to move up, but I can't move up here. Where should I, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's not specific to like the industry. And
well,
the
I don't hire bitches, so I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I see Chris.
For me, it's pretty across the board. I don't feel males or females ask me anything, but yeah, I could see. Males.
More nurturing.
More approachable.
I could see
maybe.
That.
The thing that makes me insane is I've been giving solicited and unsolicited advice my entire life because I think just emotionally I sort of embrace that supercomputer side of wanting to help. And when someone asks me for advice and I give them a very honest answer, the thing that makes my blood pressure go through the roof is their response to me going, yeah, it's not even that.
I'm like, no.
It is that. It is. You're right. Asking me what the problem is, and because I'm observing you. I'm watching you. It's not even that. Like, honey, that is what it is. So I stop giving advice.
Yeah, maybe I should too.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to give myself some advice. No more advice.
Oh, nice.
But I now realize if people seek it, then they will receive it. If they're not seeking it, you're just kind of laying it on them, then... Maybe it starts, you know, maybe our brains start early with this stuff. Like, you know, like when you're in school and the gym coach is doing the thing where it's like, everybody needs to get shorts and a reversible thing. Everyone's name needs to be written out in block letters, last name first. And they're like this like sing-songy, what's going on? You know, like you go through the airport and it's like all items into the bin. That includes keys, cell phones,
computers,
wallets. Like, maybe we just tune out.
Right.
Like maybe we're conditioned. I was talking to someone over the weekend about this, which is people are horrible listeners. And I don't know if you guys have found this in your life a lot, just a lot of really bad listeners. Like I will tell people, like if I say to someone, I mean, not while we're watching TV or anything. If I come back from a car race and I'll go, oh, how was the car race? And I'll go, good. And then they'll go, what car did you drive? And I'll go, well, I normally bring the Porsche up there, but Nissan was the brand this year at the historic. So I brought the Nissan Z car, and they go, so all Porsche race? Like they just go like, you just really, it's like, no, it's what I just said to you this thing 4 seconds ago, and I'm standing 2 feet from you and we're not doing anything. Why the process? But and I realize so many people have trouble processing information and so many people have trouble listening. I learned to listen when I started doing Loveline. I realized, oh, I didn't listen very well. And you have to listen. And sometimes I'll close my eyes when people talk because I'm trying to picture what it is they're saying. But maybe we have crafted a society where you tune out so much, so often. Like, think about the fact that there's a warning sticker on every cup of coffee. I mean, forget about packs of cigarettes. Everything. You go to the gas pump, there's a long list of what's going to hurt you on that pump. And it's basically saying you shouldn't be engaging in this process. Yeah. But it's kind of weird because, well, what are we to do then? And also, it says it on the coffee cup. Like, it's like warning stickers everywhere all the time. Major tune-out factor, right? 100% tune-out factor?
It seems so. Like, we've been trained to. Like, I doubt people even know there are warning stickers on, you know, gas pumps.
Yeah. It's just a never-ending, are you pregnant? Are you consuming alcohol? You cannot.
Every bottle of wine.
You'll get fins.
Everything has it. Every medication, everything, all day, every day, everywhere,
car,
right?
I'm looking at furniture right now.
Online,
you know, Wayfair, Costco, IKEA, whatever. And everything at the bottom has a little clickable thing that says Prop 65 for California.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, if you off gas this furniture or whatever, your kids are going to have gills.
It'd be be a good move for Sonny if he's going to jump in that pool again.
Yeah. Tell him to stand by some rubberwood veneer tables.
Let me just hear that again, Max Zapatoff. First, I'll tell you about Brian Posehn is here, so we'll bring him in 1 second. I'll tell you about MVMT watches, founded on the belief that style should not break the bank, sold over 1.5 million watches in 160 countries. The one I wear on stage is a like cobalt blue faced one with a brown leather band, and I love it.
I got the gunmetal black I wore on Saturday to my the birthday party where I got drunk.
They're really nice, and they don't cost that much. They start at just $95. They go up to same quality you'd get of a traditional watch brand, and they're very reasonably priced. They're super high quality. MVMT did all the hard work this holiday season, so you do not have to. They've curated their favorite styles into awesome gift boxes and packages. So get that fella. They do watches for girls, too, right?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You have one. Well, there you go. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns at MVMT.com/Adam. They're launching new styles all the time. Check it out. Good Christmas gift. All right. What was I saying?
Oh, do we have...
I just like to hear Lynette scream at me to give him the towel.
No. Oh, my God. It's 52 degrees. Get him out. Give him his towel. Get his towel ready. Put it over him. Put the towel... You guys, seriously.
Some entrepreneurial listener, please mash up Lynette screaming, give him a towel with Creed, Apollo Creed's trainer. Throw on the damn towel against Ivan Drago.
Please.
Throw on the damn towel.
My favorite part of that clip is the beginning. I like the fretting before he goes in the floor.
Oh, no. So good.
The very, all you need to know, the difference between... men and women, I was just sitting there going, this will be the best thing that ever happened to this kid. This is awesome that he's doing this. And Lynette was literally doing a verbal equivalent to hand wringing.
Yeah. Marge Simpson.
Mm-hmm. Apoplectic.
Mm-hmm. All right. Somebody mash that up, please. With that's throwing the towel.
That's Rocky IV when Drago kills him. Throw the damn towel.
All right.
Come on.
Do we have a clip? Somebody said that Mark Garriga sounds like Penn Jillette.
Yeah, your tweet is by @GLGuymon, and yeah, he said you need to compare the voices of Garriga and Penn Jillette. So here,
I didn't think
clip.
About it, but yeah. You tell me.
Moxie said to me at one time, Daddy, why do you work all the time? Kind of the sad, plaintive thing. And I said, because you want to buy plastic shit.
There's a New Yorker interview by Ronan Farrow, and God only knows what's going to happen when they subpoena those notes. And
brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got it. Yeah.
Raised in the same orphanage.
All right. Brian Posehn is out there. We will take ourselves a quickie break. We'll be right back after this.
And now, a quote, real Mangria testimonial.
Hi, I'm Beth, and I have children, 9 of them. I love them sometimes, but there are 9 of them. When I get back from work after a long day at Fabric Barn, I need a stiff drink before a stampede of mistakes comes running at me. For that, I turn to Mangria. It has just the right amount of sweetness and strength to satisfy a hardworking, okay mother. Thanks, Adam, and thank you, Mangria.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and enter promo code MISTAKES for 20% off orders of 3 or more bottles.